The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
I'm good, Mitch. For a nondescript interconference kind of game, that had a lot of moving parts last night.
That was like a playoff game. We're not seeing any here this spring, yeah. And we haven't seen very many like playoff games this year, but that was one of them.
No, Ante was really solid in net. Dallas let their foot off the accelerator, taking bad penalties. You know, Danny Hamm's a really good player, solid, very disciplined usually. That high stick was not good. Radek Fox is one of their best penalty killers. That leg-on-leg check in the neutral zone, not good. And Montreal took advantage of their opportunities. They give them full marks because when they're down 1-0 after playing in Columbus the night before, that's not looking good, especially with the way Dallas was playing. I thought Dallas was playing really well, and Miami was solid for Montreal. So there are a lot of moving parts, and then you probably want to get to the Shaw thing later.
We'll do that. I just want to get, because Dallas has Toronto in Toronto tonight. Here was Ken Hitchcock after their loss last night.
Yeah, I think this time of year it's really revealing one way or the other. There's lots left in it, by the way. We're not dead yet, but it is very revealing. So by the end of the season, we'll have a really good evaluation of what we did. You know, I think the thing that concerns us is that we've shown some cracks that we haven't shown when it was in the middle of the season. Now the temperature's gone way up and we've shown some cracks. So we've got to help the guys get through that stuff. That's not being mad at them or anything. It's just, it's a new experience for a lot of guys. And you're seeing some guys, quite frankly, not wear the pressure very well right now. And we got to help them through that.
How about that?
I think I know what he's talking about, the penalties, which obviously he runs a disciplined ship. He doesn't like that at all. That's why I talked about that, and I haven't talked to Ken. But that would be one thing that I think probably caught his goat. And then the other thing, on the Scherbak goal, that's just a terrible turnover by Steven Johns, and he can't be doing that. You cannot. That is a key time in the game where you turn the puck over for no reason, zero, none, nada. There's nothing there. I mean, just make a play. And he doesn't. It ends up at the back of their net, and it's game over. So I get what he's talking about. He doesn't like those mistakes. And that's why if you look at the teams he's had success with, more times than not, they're veteran guys that don't make those mistakes.
But, they are very top-heavy, right? They have three of the best forwards in the league, and they have one of the best defensemen in the league. But beyond that, they don't have enough to do damage at playoff time.
This is all part of their build. I can tell you right now, they have a defenseman in Finland, Miro Heiskanen, who just finished playing in the Olympics. He was a third overall pick last summer. He's NHL ready. He's really good. So you're going to have a dynamo on the back end to join John Klingberg. They've got some other players that they've drafted that aren't as much name brand recognition. That Jim Nill's got coming. They're actually going to be a ton better going forward. But no, they're not ready for a long run yet. But considering where they were a year ago out of the playoffs, it looks like they got a legitimate chance to make it.
All right, you mentioned that Steven Johns turnover, which Nikita Scherbak pounced on. He used his long reach to shovel the puck to himself. Man, he looked like, for those of us of a certain vintage, he looked like Frank Mahovlich. The way that he carried the puck and protected it and went to the net and finished. That was a beautiful move.
That is a great comparison and something I didn't even think of, but now that you raise it, that's very strong. I would agree with that. He took advantage of an opportunity, and that's what you got to do. So that was really a positive moment in the game, I thought, for the Canadians, a very, very positive moment in the game.
When you see, his name, I don't know if it came up with you yesterday with Gallo, he was out of the lineup briefly, then they put him back in. They said they just wanted to talk to him and they wanted him to watch a game from upstairs for a bit, just to get a different there's this belief that he is, because of the way he looks, and you know that body type, Pierre. A lot of guys who are built like that, they look lazy even when they're not lazy on the ice.
One of the most revealing things I can share with you is I was talking with the Boston Bruins players on Sunday morning in Chicago. They had played the day before in Boston and crushed Chicago. And I said, most of the ones that I really have known a long time on that team, I said, what's the one thing about Rick Nash that you're finding out that you didn't know about him because you're practicing with him all the time, you're watching them play all the time? What's the one thing you've really found out about him? Every guy, every single guy, and these are guys, big name players that I really respect, can't believe how fast he is because he doesn't look that fast. So it speaks to your point. Big, tall, lanky guys, and Nash is one of those guys. Sherbach's another one of those guys. Sometimes they don't look like they're going fast, and then all of a sudden they blow by, and you're like, where did that come from? So I'm totally in agreement there. Those guys take a little bit longer to appreciate. There's no question.
And, Pierre, what I've really noticed during this stint with Sherbach is he looks drastically different at home compared to on the road. Like, it's two completely different players, which is one of the reasons why I think he was a scratch for that game in Tampa Bay, which was expected to be a high-paced game. Why do you think the road and home could be such a different place for such a young player?
It's an intimidating league. And when you haven't had a lot of experience, it can be extremely intimidating. Whether you're a coach, whether you're a player, your first time around can be a little bit intimidating. So, you know, that's part of it. You learn, and hopefully the first time you go around, you won't be the same way the second time you go around. You know, you'll be a little bit more comfortable. I've seen big-time players have a real tough time in certain rinks that are just coming into the league, and you wonder, what's wrong with that guy? And then you realize, you know, you got to give them some time to learn about the league and about what goes on. So that's just part of the adjustment period.
Shaw really smashed him, but Shaw probably gives up.
Shaw's getting help here, getting off the ice. He's buzzed.
Walsner and Juleson help him. You hate to see that.
What a season.
Unacceptable, I guess, a good way to put it. You get fired up in the moment. You do things that you don't necessarily think through. I don't know what kind of guy he is. I can't speak to that, but it's not something that you ever want to see. You don't like those kind of things.
You know, I thought he took a run at me. I mean, I'll take a look at it again, but it seemed like his head hit mine. And, you know, it was, there's a reason why a guy like that gets 4 or 5 concussions a year. And, you know, I think his play speaks for himself.
He was out?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I didn't even know that. Yeah. So then, yeah, it's even worse. It kind of makes you feel sick when you see that. It's like when you watch UFC and the guy keeps going after a knockout. It's kind of a bad feeling.
All right, Carl Alsner and Greg Pattern after the game, Pierre. Yeah.
Okay, we got to break this down slowly, and everybody's got to understand, just go slow here, watch it. You don't see Andrew Shaw in the picture frame, at least from the camera angle that I watched it from, until he sees Greg Pattern's head go down to make a play on the puck. When Pattern's head goes down to make a play on the puck, Shaw enhances his ability to get there. He sees he's got an exposed target, and he's not going to pass it up. That's part of, you know, the game. That's part of the intimidation part of the game. Unfortunately for Andrew, Pattern's much bigger, much stronger, and braced at the last second. And the head-on-head clearly is identified from the camera angle, again, that I saw. So he's down. I think Pattern didn't know. I could be wrong. I don't think he knew immediately that Shaw was out, but he was frustrated. And then when I think he saw he was out, he was done. Like, he backed off. I don't think it's right that he hit him after he got, you know, knocked out. I don't think that's right. But I want to be fair here. If you watch it with a clear conscience and don't have rose-colored glasses on, Andrew Shaw went for the big hit. He went for the kill shot. And the problem was he's the one that got smushed.
Well, except
he went for the big hit.
The beginning, yeah, but you left out what started it all, and that was Faxa. Faxa made contact with Andrew Shaw's chin.
That's fair. That's okay.
And it was like, 20 seconds before that? And Shaw's head snapped back. He looked around. He didn't see an arm in the air. And so he was after somebody. And I believe if an arm went in the air, maybe he wouldn't have been so angry. And so, yeah, he did go headhunting. No question about it.
And what you just said is more than fair, and I see your point 100%. I was just talking about the hit, but that's more than fair, and that's legit to bring that in. But that's, again, you know, you can't lose your mind in those situations. It's easy for me to say because I wasn't the guy that got hit on the chin. But I would say, to be fair through the whole thing, it's unfortunate, especially with the concussion history of Andrew. Going forward, obviously, they want him to be a big part of their team in Montreal because they need that sandpaper that he provides, but you wonder how many has he had now and where is this going to lead.
Really unfortunate. And I get that Pattern, you know, it didn't work out for them. He took a penalty with the stupid punches that he threw, and it cost them a goal. And but what he said was kind of flippant after the game, and you know that.
I said to Rod, I mean, I wonder what transpired when he was in Montreal and Shaw was there. I wonder if anything ever happened. I mean, I don't know. Did anybody ask that question? I have no idea. You'd have to ask the media that was in the room if anybody addressed that. I don't know, but that was a very flip answer. There's no question, and I don't know if that's a frustration of losing. I don't know if they got lit up by the coach after the game. I don't know. Maybe he's mad at himself because he took a penalty and Montreal scored. So there could be a lot of things, but that was a real flip answer, no question.
Well, you know, that's obviously, you know, logic would suggest that, but hockey's not a logical game. And guys play the way they feel is necessary to stay in the league. Maybe Andrew Shaw could take a little something off the fastball and still be effective. That's certainly for him to decide.
Bob McKenzie, of course, this morning with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and Rick Moffitt on how a guy like Shaw, can he be effective if, in fact, he changes the way he plays? We're looking at least three concussions and maybe a fourth in one calendar year here.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. There's no question. Can he be effective? He can. You have to learn how to angle. You have to learn how to rub people rather than crush people. And, you know, he's more than anything else. You just got to be selective. But you can still be very effective as a player. He can. But it's, you know, I worry more about his long-term health than I worry about right now, you know, how he's going to play. I worry about his health. I really do. I remember when he broke in the league, like it was yesterday in Chicago, and it was so neat. He used to come with Nick Leddy to the same restaurant all the time where we used to eat at the Rosebud, right by our hotel at the Drake, and he and Leddy used to come there a ton. And we had the nicest visits. He was just so in awe of being in the league, and it was awesome to see the enthusiasm he had. So, you know, he's been around a little bit longer now, and it's sad to see, you know, all these concussions start to pile up.
Yeah, Pierre, like, I'm really concerned about it because it appears at this point, like, he's more susceptible to concussions than other players because of the history. Like, I can't recall a time where I saw a player beeline at another player, try to engage in contact and knock himself out. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I'd have to think back. I mean, would there have been some? I saw actually an unbelievable head-on-head collision in a Finland-Sweden game at the Olympics in South Korea. I believe it was the Swede that got knocked out, even though the Finn was okay. So it was kind of a different situation. Mm-hmm. Seen, you know, a lot of hits, a lot of tough hits. That was a tough hit. That was really a tough hit. That's the only thing I'm going to say is he was mad. You could tell, and he was going, once he saw a pattern drop and said he was going for the kill shot. There's no question about that.
But you also have to wonder, we don't know, and I'm just speculating here, the initial shot off his head, it stunned him, the non-call that I was talking
yes,
about.
Yes.
And if he might have been already dazed and out of focus. And that could have been another reason why he didn't hit pattern properly. We don't,
very fair.
You know, we don't
very
know that.
Yep. No, it's a very good point. Absolutely fair to say.
So at the end of the game, Pierre, what would you have given in the odds that the Dallas Stars finished the game with a 6-on-3 and one of the three skaters for the Montreal Canadiens for a defensive zone draw shorthanded by three men was Jonathan Drouin, who would beat Jason Spezza on one of them?
Yeah, it was great. I was happy for him. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, you know, obviously, they're playing with a little bit of house money. It's not do or die. So you're trying to get players into positions where they can build some confidence and gain some experience. And that's clearly what they're trying to do with that player in particular. I thought it was great.
Well, I he appears to be a more engaged player with Gallagher. Well, Gallagher will do that to anybody, right? And Byron. The way that those two guys play, it must be rubbing off on him.
Well, here's a question I have for you, and that's fair to say, too, and I agree with that. But what about, did anybody watch Galchenyuk's play to Lehkonen?
Yeah, he moved to the middle of the ice.
Why can't anybody see that? Why, you know, you're talking that chemistry. Why can't somebody see that upstairs and say, you know what, when this guy has ice to play with, he's really good in the middle. He's really good.
And he's got 8 points in his last 8 games. Go ahead, Rod.
Why is he never? He doesn't get enough praise when he makes those plays. I didn't. I mean, did it get a lot of review around Montreal. I didn't see much.
Well, because of the incident in the third period, it was kind of, everything else was kind of overshadowed.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
From an evaluation point of view here, Pierre, over the next 12 games, and I'm not talking about the young players because we know what they're playing for. They're playing for jobs and reputations. But for the youngish veterans, Drew and Galchenyuk, are these games as important from an evaluation point of view as any other game?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know Canadiens fans don't want to hear this, but I would tell you one thing. For those two guys in particular, they should be playing their butts off so they get invited to the World Championships this year. For Drouin, it'd be to go play for Canada. They're over in Denmark this year, and it's Copenhagen and Herring. And I think that would be one thing. I'd be not only for pride for Montreal to set the tempo for next year, but to try to make Team Canada and go play some meaningful games in the month of May. And for Galchenyuk would be to be invited to play for Team USA. I would love to see that for both those players because they need that. They need that a ton.
I hadn't even thought of that. It's early because, you know, we expected a playoff, but right. That's a great – I hope that the people who run Team Canada will invite Jonathan Drouin and that he will accept it.
Well, that's where you got to get on the floor to Alan Walsh. And I, you know, I'm friendly with Alan, and I would – first thing, if he ever called me, I'd say, you got to get that guy over there. He didn't play playoffs last year. You know, you're not going to play playoffs this year. What's he saving it for? Right. He needs to go play some of these things and get more and more reps. And it's the same with Galchenyuk.
Very quickly, among the games last night, the Bruins were down 4-1 in the third. They scored five straight goals in the third. Pasternak with a hat trick, but they also suffered some injuries. Have you heard anything about what might have happened to Chara, Torrey Krug, Jake DeBrusque?
No, Torrey's been playing with a little bit of an injury for a while. He actually got dinged up in Chicago on Sunday afternoon and left the game. So I don't know what happened there, but I do know that he was dinged up in the Chicago game. I did it. Chara, I don't know the answer to. It's a closely guarded secret. DeBrusque, I don't know. I do know they signed Troy Frederick today out of the University of Wisconsin. He's a tremendous talent, big physical forward. You know, wait until they get Ryan Donato out of Harvard. They're just going to keep adding pieces. The game swung. I don't know how much of it you watched, but that game swung right after Pasternak gave up a shorthanded breakaway goal. Matt Grizzlick, probably around 7 or 8 minutes later, scored on just a scorcher of a snapshot coming down the left side. And that was it. It just flipped right there. The game completely and utterly flipped. It was amazing how quickly that game flipped. And then, you know, you think about Carolina the night before, Mitch. They gave up 6 goals in New York. They gave up 6 last night on home ice. That's crushing. They gave up 12 goals and 2 must wins in back-to-back games. That's really tough.
Here's Grizzlick, left circle, walks in, shoots, he scores! Matt Grizzlick raced into the left circle and fired a laser just inside the near post, far side from where he was on Cam Ward, and the Bruins have sliced the Hurricanes' lead in half. It's 4-2.
And they were just getting going. Okay, the game tonight at Madison Square Garden. We're going to see the Penguins here tomorrow night. What are you looking for tonight?
Well, Penguins are obviously jacked up because they're still playing for position. Rangers have a lot of young guys. They're trying to make a reputation for themselves. Rod talked about that. They're coming off that 6-3 win with BC getting a hat trick against Carolina on Monday night. So I expect an energized, fun game. I do. And whenever Pittsburgh and New York play, usually it's a high-paced game. I don't expect a lot of trapping. And, you know, Malkin's definitely in the hunt for the MVP. There's no question. He's in the hunt for the MVP. His career high is 113 points. I don't think he can get there, but he's going to be darn close. I think he can get to 100 points. Which is really unbelievable when you think about the season Pittsburgh's had and the amount of hockey they've played over the last 3 seasons. So I think that'd be huge. One other thing, if I could just say it, Mitch, shows you how classy guys are in the NHL. The last game I did in New York, I was doing a Chicago New York Ranger game on January 3rd. And the next morning I was in having my cancer surgery. So I hadn't talked or seen Alain Vigneault. I was working here this afternoon. And you know, he comes in early. He comes in the office. Hey, Pierre, can I see you for a second? I'm like, sure. Unbelievable. I was blown away. I said, Alain, you don't have to do that. You got to coach a game tonight. He's like, no. I just wanted to come and talk to you and see what's going on and how they found it. You know, it just shows you the people that are in the league that are, you know, you form relationships over time. What a gentleman. What an honorable and nice thing to do. I was blown away. I was really touched by it.
You guys go way back in the NHL.
We do. We do. But, you know, when you got a game, you don't – I don't expect guys to do that. And, yep. You know, it's just one of those things where I was really – I was taken aback. I really was in a real positive way, so I'm grateful for that.